the microphone. I don't want to share this one. Yeah. Come on. Get it. Wow, close one, LeBron. You've been practicing. Thank you. Okay. Oh, now, I can tell you what happened, but I wasn't there, so I didn't go. So I don't want to tell you what happened. I want you to hear from the first hand. And one of the people that helped lead this entire expedition to places unknown is none other than Beth Sandell. And I want to invite Beth up here to the front so she can tell you what it is that we did this past week. So Beth, get up here. And you want to go ahead and frame it, the trip for us?
I apologize if my English is off. I forgot how to speak English when I came back. It was crazy. I was just speaking so much Spanish. So what we did is last Thursday, we took 16 people and we went over to Mexico. Whoop, whoop, give it up. Okay. So we went down there. We served at different churches. It was really awesome. We were in Rosarito. We were in TJ. We got to paint churches. We got to go into like fields and just start inviting people out to church. And then we did a whole bunch of skits. We did, you know, we gave away stuff. We played soccer with them. I whooped them. It was all right. And it was really cool. We just got to serve these people who could never serve us back. It's very humbling. We got to pour into people and we got to help people who, you know, in the future, they would never get to do anything for us. And it was just amazing because the reason we were doing it is because of Jesus. Yeah. Because we want to tell them about Jesus. Because we want them to know that Jesus sees their pain and Jesus sees their issues and Jesus sees their circumstance and he wants to reach them too. So these are some of the teammates and they got awesome stories they want to tell you about.
Awesome, awesome. Now, Beth, how many days were we there?
4.
And then how many people went?
16.
And you said TJ. What is TJ? Is that TJ Maxx?
It is. It's Tijuana.
Oh, Tijuana Max. I love it. Cool. So then who do we have here? Who's first up on our list of sharing stories?
I think Mark.
Mark. Mark.
Mark Polo. DJ yes. Polo in the house? Yes, no, come on now.
All right, Mark, step on forward, bro, and give us a story about what God did in and through you. Yeah, yeah, come on, stand up. Stand. I'm not going to interview you, man. Just stand up here in the center stage right next to the sombrero.
Hi, everybody. So... yeah. So Mexico was fun. It was a cool experience. It's not that far from us. It's only 2 hours away. So it's in our backyard. But there as what I seen, do we have any pictures? Or are we gonna show them later? Oh, they already have. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we have pictures. Where is this?
Yeah, there we were walking the street. So there's this is when we first got there. Here is our first place that we actually went. And here, you probably wouldn't think it, but this is where we ministered in the dirt, in the rocks, and they had their church service outside. So you guys are like, well, dang. For me, my experience there was, I don't know, it just to see the difference. Yeah, that's where we were. You see Jesus right there. He actually came with us. He was protecting us. So this is where we did our skit and everything right there. This is where they actually have their service. They have a little building, but, you know, it only seats like probably like 15 people, and that's it. So if it grows a bit larger than that, they have to move it outside in the sun. They put up a tent and all that stuff. But for me, it was to actually see that. And there was this church that we actually painted, and to see them, what really got me about this trip is that how some of us here at this church take stuff for granted. You know, I mean, yeah, we have air conditioning, which I love. We have air conditioning. Well, they don't have air conditioning in the churches. We have lights and we have like everything flashing. We have screens where you can read the words and everything. Well, they don't. Well, at least the church that we went to on Sunday morning, right? Sunday morning. And it was just like, okay, cool, we get there. And by the way, I was preaching at one of the churches, so that was like took me out of my comfort zone because I never preached outside of the country. So, praise God. So I was like, okay, cool. So we get there, and me and the team are just like standing, and we're like, okay, cool. And I tell the team, hey, sit up in the front rows. Let's try to take the front. And I don't know how many people are, you know, we're expecting. And once people start coming in, I start counting. I'm like, okay, there's only 15 people, and that was their entire church. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, the band's supposed to go up right now. Because, you know, I was used to this. The band goes up. We do praise and worship. They do, like, some sick beats and all that stuff. But it wasn't like that. All there was just somebody on the keys and then somebody singing. And that's it. But these people, their heart for God that they had was, like, amazing. Because even though that there wasn't a full band, there wasn't, you know, drums, anything, these people still had a heart for God. No matter what type of instruments they had, they were using it. And it was just keys and singing, and that's it. And it was crazy because one of our guys that came with us was like, hey, can I sing with you guys? They're like, yeah. So they had it on mic, and he started doing praise and worship with them. So I was just like, man, just to see this, and I'm like thinking in my head, okay, like, I never done this before. So there's this somebody playing the keys and then somebody just singing. And then I start seeing, for myself, I start seeing, like, you know, a couple empty seats. Like, everybody just sat, like, on one side, like, the entire church. And there's, like, all these empty seats. And I just remember just, you know, I was taken out of my comfort zone because I was like, oh, I'm expected to see, like, you know, at least 20 and up, you know, and right here in the Rock Youth. But I remember Pastor Jim spoke this one time, and he said, yeah, I remember when I first started preaching, my mom was the only one in the congregation, and all the other seats were empty. And I was like, dang, and God just spoke to me and was like, it doesn't matter. This is about me, not about you. So you preach as if the room is just filled. So I said, all right, cool. And the Holy Spirit just dropped, right? The Holy Spirit just dropped, and it was just like amazing message. Someone got saved, and we just started praying for people. And what really, really got me is that when the Holy Spirit was there, you could tell when the Holy Spirit's there, because if the pastor, the senior pastor, starts crying, then it's just like, dang. And I just see him just start crying. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, let me pray for you too. But it was just like, that was my experience, because, you know, a lot of us talked and it was just like, oh yeah, we just stepped out of our comfort zone. But for me, like, I could go up to anybody and just talk to anybody and, you know, I'm used to it. But getting me out of my comfort zone was that Sunday morning. That's when I stepped out of my comfort zone, and I just saw the Holy Spirit just show up, and it was just, like, amazing. Oh, yeah, that's the church that we painted. Do we have a before picture? Yeah, that's what it looked like before. So you see, like, yeah, it was crazy. We painted outside, and we painted inside, and I won't tell you about the bathrooms because that's another story. Don't drink the water. Especially if you're, yeah, you need to go to the bathroom there. So, anyways, that's a whole nother story. Yeah. All right.
Let's give it up for Mark. Hey, man, that's cool. That's cool. Now, we have another DJ here, DJ Synth. She's going to be one of our interns coming up this next year. Cynthia, you had a couple experiences too. Come on up. Come on up and share your experiences with us. Tell us what you did.
All right. So mine, just to jump off of what he said, it was really amazing seeing that church, like, with only 15 people. And one thing that really stood out to me is, you know, they had more faith than I did at that moment. And I was just like, wow, you know, like, just to see them pray for their church and really believe for their city. Like, when they prayed, you just felt it. You're like, wow, you know, like, they believe what they're saying. You know, they believe that this church of just 15, and I mean, you saw it, or we don't have to go back to it, but you saw it, you know, it wasn't anything like here. There was no lights. There was nothing glamorous about that church, but being in that church, it felt glamorous. Just being with their faith, I was like blown away. And faith was something that I was really dealing with at that time too, because, you know, we had just got news that my mom was, she's battling MS right now. And we just had news that she just had a relapse, so she was going to go ahead and get treatment. And I mean, I was praying for it, and I just realized that my prayers were so timid, and it was more like I was just asking God, and it was just a little rocky. And one thing that I learned from the trip was that these people, including at that church and also at an orphanage that we saw, and let me tell you, this orphanage, I don't know if we have any pictures of that. This orphanage broke my heart. Like, whew. Just thinking about it, it makes me tear up. There's this one little girl shared with me that she shares, like, this little twin bed with four other girls. They sleep there at night, and there's spiders, and there's bugs. It was awful just to see it. It broke my heart because these girls and these boys, they are so happy with just what they have. And one thing that I was able to talk to some of the leaders, and their hearts are on fire for God. They're just believing for these children's lives and these children's parents, and that was amazing. And, you know, I was able to pray with one of the leaders. leaders over that orphanage, and it was just, I was blown away with how much faith that they had. And so that was really touching for me. And Pastor Paul over the Spanish service, he shared with us after that, those leaders, they hardly have any funds. Like, they are literally just running off of faith. And that is absolutely fantastic. And he was also sharing that these children, they're there because, you know, their parents are either on drugs or completely abandoned them or either in jail. And that was crazy to think about. And one thing, though, that was even, you know, crazier was they don't have a legal system there. So unlike, we have like a foster system that is able to make sure that when they go back to home, it's going to be a safe place. They don't have that there. So their parents can pick them up whenever, which is insane. And so he was just explaining some of the stories, and he said that they had a mom the day before that we came try to go get only one of their kids and not the other. And that was just absolutely heartbreaking, like, just to think, like, I couldn't even imagine what that kid was feeling, you know. But it was just insane to see the amount of faith that was there. And even, you know, that they don't have maybe 15% of what we have here, you know, and yet their hearts are on fire for God. And that was just insane. And, you know, when I got back, I was like, you know what, I'm going to pray because I have authority with Christ. And, you know, I'm going to pray just like they're praying, you know, and if it can work with them, it can work with me. And, you know, I was just praying over that. And it was so amazing to see, you know, and hallelujah to God, because my mom had treatment this week and it is going perfect, and it has never gone perfect before. So that just goes to show the power of prayer is real. And faith is real. And I really learned that in Mexico, to see, you know, those people just believing for what they're believing for, and it's getting done. And it can get done here too. It just literally, power of prayer and faith.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, the thing I love about mission trips is that, you know, we go out to bless people, but when you go and you have that mindset to say, I'm going to bless someone else, you end up on the other end of the blessing as well. Matter of fact, you're Kimberly. You're Kimberly from Shift, and you are going to come up here, and you are going to share a story. Cheyenne, yeah, that's right.
I'm Cheyenne from Shift as
Cheyenne's
well.
Cheyenne's new to me, so
yeah.
This is
I've
Cheyenne.
Been around,
she's new to them, too. You guys know Cheyenne?
You've seen me.
Now we do.
I think you've seen me.
Yeah.
I'm like the background.
If you guys
one.
Listen really good, maybe she'll be a youth worker.
Maybe.
Give the story, girl.
The thing that I wanted to talk about, this wasn't easy. This wasn't like, okay, I was like, I'm going to go to Mexico, but everything came up against me. I mean, from family struggles, my mom, same thing. She became sick with, like, psychosis. She was seeing stuff and talking to stuff. And you're like, how are you going to leave your mom and go to Mexico when this is going on? And then passports. Okay, everyone had a good experience with theirs. Mine was not like that. Apparently, I was born, like, 2 years or something like that. I had to get paperwork upon paperwork. And at every moment, it was like, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. Like, just don't go. It's way safer just to stay here. Like, what are you doing? Just stay home. And I just kept praying. And I mean, like, just same thing what Cynthia was saying. Like, it was little small prayers. Like, oh, Lord, please let me get my birth certificate together so I can get the paper. All right, Lord, thank you for the paper. But now let it come in time. All right, Lord. And all these little itty bitty, like, well, maybe God, just hopefully, you know, if you have time, can you remember to get me that passport? Okay. But then, you know, as we got there, I took Spanish in high school, which was like a while ago, and I was like thinking I kind of knew, but then I knew when I got there and like you saw the first, you know, pictures, those houses and stuff threw me off. So I remember getting there and I was like, oh, I don't know this. I don't know this culture. I know the language, but I don't get their struggle. Like, look what I'm wearing. My sandals, rainbows are $50. These houses are like not that. Like, what am I doing here? We still went up to the doors and we still knocked on there and, you know, the leaders did a really good job making sure all of us said something and tried. And I remember just praying, like, okay, the group was walking ahead of me into the street, and I just remember going, Lord, look, I need to know this language now. We bring everything back into my head, every word, everything I need to get. This is not about me. This is about you. How do I get to these people and let them see, like, this is, I'm coming from San Bernardino to them. How do I, like, you got to show up. And it was just more like a, like, you're going to show up. I mean, one of them was like, hey, Shy, you got the next house. My Spanish was like, and I was like, oh. And even the leaders were like, okay. I'm going to put Paulo out there real quick. He went to go talk, and he got a little, like, choked up. And I was like, step aside. Talked about them. They talked to me. The whole crazy thing was, you know, my hair. Like, I mean, it's already insane here. But out there, they're like, what? And a lot of them got to that tent of, like, what we were doing because of my hair. They were like, you know, and God, used every single thing about me to get a message across, which was, like, amazing. Like, my hair, so many people were just coming up to me like, is it yours? You know, I learned, like, you know, and then someone asked me, did I take it off of an animal? And I know translations aren't, you know, you're not supposed to translate languages exactly, but that was exactly what it said. Did you take it off of an animal? And I was like, no, it's not that, like, it's mio. Like, that's what I had to say the whole time. And people were just touching and grabbing. And out here, you guys know, you don't really go up to a black girl and touch her hair. But out there, they didn't care. It was like, I was walking, I'm like, ooh, all right. In the food lines, like, ooh, all right. Like, okay, all right. And then people were just like, okay, I'll go. Like, I'll go, are you going to be there? And I'm like, yes, me and my hair, we will be there at the tent. And Jesus too, but we'll get to him later. But get here, my hair, we're all going to be there. And I remember just the thing with just prayer as well, you know. But that moment right there when I just said, you know what, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about Spanish 101. I was even thinking about the grades I got. I was like, I got a B, so that should be like, be okay to like get this language out. And like, I was all about me. I was, even though I was out there, I was in Mexico, I was out of my comfort zone, like got the passport, got all these things going. And I was still in the street and I'm like, okay, me. And then I think the moment when I said, you know what, this is not about me. And then it all became about me because my hair and how short I was. And are you Dominican? Are you black? What is an Asian and black person? What is an Asian? And it was like all these things, like, you know, and it became about me. And I had to like go to Kimberly, like, how do you say mixed? How do you say like it's mine? How do you say I didn't cut it off an animal? Like, it was just cool. But that prayer, that moment that God literally just opened up my brain and was like, here's my language. Use it for my good. Use it for my glory. Get these people. And that's your mission. And that's what you're here for. I created everything about you for this day. Every little thing about you. That's when I finally realized all the stuff we sing about how beautiful we are and how he created all of us fearfully and wonderfully made. You never know something about you that's going to lead someone to Christ. So the things that you look, you know, I know this is youth, and I remember youth was a horrible time for me. I don't know how y'all feel. I hated youth. I hated high school. I didn't look like anyone. I didn't fit like anyone. I didn't sound like anyone. I was too crazy for some people, too quiet for other people. I didn't like it. So I remember not liking myself during this time. And now that I'm growing up and it's young adults time, I'm learning, like, okay, I like my hair natural. I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. So if you're going through that right now, that's a cool time. But those things that make you stand out, those are the things God used everything for his good, everything for his glory. So my hair was used for his glory. How short I am was used for his glory. And the fact that, okay, I took these languages and I took these classes, it wasn't the grades at that moment. It didn't matter what grade I got. It was like, I just prayed, okay, Lord, use me. I want to be your instrument. And that's when he's like, thanks. Here's the language. Boom. And it was like, brrr, like the whole time. I don't know if I can do that now. I know when I got back, I had my roommates over there and I was still speaking Spanish. And they're like, hey, you're home. Like, you can speak English. And I'm like, okay, good. But just know that anything about you that you feel awkward about, it's the thing that God's going to use. That one thing that makes you stand out is what God's going to use about you. So any little thing you look in the mirror and right now you're like, oh my gosh, that girl doesn't look like me. There's a skit that we do and there's a part where the girl gets kind of overcome by society and how she's not skinny or she's not this, she's not that. God still uses those things. So if you feel like I'm too tall, God will use it. You'll probably minister to short people because they're going to be like, whoa, you know, and okay, I'm black. And you'll probably go to a European place because they're going to be like, whoa, why does your skin do that? Like, you just never know. You just never know. So anything about you, just know God created it for you and he's going to use it. Just have that faith, have that powerful prayer, have that ahora, like, you give me that language now and for your glory, and God will do it. So.
Dang. I love it. Ahora. That's a good word. That's a word for today. Oh, man. Hey, Megan. Good old Meggers in charge. Oh, quick plug. Unity will be at Collide this Friday. Woo! Very exciting. So, Megan, what did Mexico do to you?
What did Mexico do to me? Well, I've been on mission trips before. I've seen a lot of really cool things that God has done. But something I thought was really unique about this for me personally was we had done, you know, like Beth was saying, a good deal of street evangelism, passing out flyers for our big event on Saturday. And we also just had the opportunity to pray with people. And there was a time on a Friday night where we had this, like, I'd say a good 5-mile strip of homes that were made out of, like, anything they could possibly find, like tires, scrap metal, cardboard. And I've seen that before, but I've actually never met the people inside of those homes. So it was really cool to go door to door, talk with those people, invite them to an event, and then just really hear their stories and ask them for what they wanted prayer. And it really just blew me out of the water that not a single person said, God, just really pray for me that God, that I win the lottery, or that I get all this money, or that I can get out of my certain circumstance, or that I can get a home. Everyone's prayer was for somebody else. They were just the least selfish people I've ever met. It was just so crazy to see that they literally have nothing. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have plumbing. They didn't have probably really good access to clean water, and yet their prayers were for, oh, my daughter, she's pregnant. Pray for healing on this. Pray for this person's relationship. And it really impressed me, and it really inspired me to challenge myself in my own prayer life. And as I came home and I kind of processed things, God brought something to my remembrance. I've been reading a book by Lisa Bevere. If you guys went to Women's Conference, she was here. She's awesome. And she says in that book, she says, I quote Lisa Bevere, I believe that the devil's attacks on your life have mainly to do with who you might be in the future and not what you've done in your past. And I look at these people and I think sometimes I automatically think, wow, they must have made some mistakes, something like that. And I'm being vulnerable up here. Sometimes you think, man, I'm going through a hard time. I must be really weak right now because the devil's attacking my weaknesses. We all know that. That's what happens. The devil finds your weaknesses, and he goes after them. And you kind of get that mentality of, oh, I need to pray for this person because they're in a hard time right now. They must not be super on point with God. I'm going to pray for that. But it was really cool to really switch that and think, no, those people have the most potential because the devil is attacking them right now with things that I've never even seen before, that we've never experienced. You know, some of us may not be, you know, living in mansions and stuff like that, but these people literally had nothing, and yet they had, like Cynthia was saying, they had the biggest faith, and it was just so crazy for me to think, I can just completely change how I'm praying for these people. These people have the most potential because the devil's really attacking them. And I can just encourage you guys with that. Like, if the devil's attacking you with something, you feel like, man, he's always coming after me about my family. He's always coming after my friends. I always have drama. Whatever it is, it's because the devil knows the potential you have to do things for God's kingdom. So just be encouraged by that and know that the devil's afraid of you. He's afraid of what you can do in your life for God. And so just pray for that. Pray for him for God to come into your life and to just to strengthen your walk with him, because the devil's going to come after you the closer you get to God. And that's all I have to say.
That's good. Good word. Kimberly,
yes.
Get up here.
Okay.
Tell us what your experience was like in Mexico.
Well, before we went to Mexico, Beth had asked us to write kind of a testimony about a time in our lives when God kind of helped us. And so I wrote about how when I was younger, when I was 19, I was really, you know, I started working and I saw the value of a dollar, and then I started getting another job. So I worked two jobs and I went to school. And in the process of that, I kind of put God last and work first. And I started to like the nicer things and the nice clothes and all of that. And going to Mexico, I mean, I'm Mexican. I've been there many times. So I know the struggle that's in Mexico. But this time around, being in the mission trip, like definitely being up and center, it was different. I came encounter with so many people who were struggling with jobs. There was this man who asked for prayer, and he had two children. He didn't have a job, and he didn't know how he was going to feed his children. He definitely got, you know, a voucher, and we did give him food. But after, when we were getting everything ready, putting the tables away so like that we can clean up, he came over and he was helping. I'm like, it's okay. We did this for you. Like, you don't need to help us. He's like, the least I can do is help you. I mean, you guys have provided us with food. And I think his family won a bike. I'm not sure. But he was so grateful with the food. And, I mean, the food was like pasta, beans. I mean, it was nothing fancy, but it meant so much to him. And there were so many people there that had the same struggle. And here I was, like, I had a moment where I was like, I was so foolish before. I cared so much about the materialistic things. I cared so much about having nice clothes and a nice car and all of that. And that wasn't important. That was not what mattered in life. None of that matters, because there's people out there who are really struggling. And so I really thought about it, and definitely like what Megan said, you know, he uses the kind of like the things that we're not proud about, like the mistakes that we made, for the benefit of others. So, I mean, I just sat there and I prayed with him. I hugged him. And that was like amazing to him. He was so grateful for it. And
I mean, sometimes we just kind of get so caught up in ourselves and we get so caught up in the moment and what we're doing and what our friends who maybe are not walking on the right path are doing. And then we realize, like, there's people out there that are really struggling. There's people out there who are really, I mean, it doesn't compare. Like, I mean, we do have air conditioning. We do have, I mean, if our parents lose their job, there is assistance out there. There's countries out there that don't have that. They don't have clean running water. They don't have, like, you know, fences. Their dogs are completely filthy. And here we are. We're taking our dogs to the vet. We give them filtered water, you know, Purina, all this stuff. They don't have none of that. I mean, $20 to them is going to feed them probably for like 6 months. For us, it's like whatever. I mean, it's just, we don't value it. And so it definitely, you know, kind of brought me back down. And it reminded me of how foolish I was before as opposed to now. And it's just very important to kind of stay centered and remind yourself that there are people out there who are definitely struggling. We think we have it bad, but we are so far from it. I mean, if our parents don't buy us those new pairs of shoes, Jordans or whatever, like it's like, oh, at the end of the world, we're so upset with our parents over it. And I mean, there's people out there who are just happy with beans and rice. So that's it.
Good word. Good word. That's a way to put it into perspective. Love it. And Beth, you said you wanted to share something real quick. All right, let's give it for Beth one more time.
They tore it up. This team right here, you guys have no idea. Oh, real quick, we're going to be doing missions in the future, so if you guys want to be a part of this, if you guys are saying, I want to step out like that, I want to reach somebody else, man, start saving your bucks now. Start, get that piggy bank going, okay? Fill it up, all right? Well, one thing that the team taught me is, you know, this was an amazing team. They were just incredible. I love them so much, but one thing that the team did is they came in with the spirit of expectancy. And what do I mean by that is when they came into Mexico, far before we got to Mexico and when we got there, they came in with this attitude, God, if you said it, then it can be done. God, if we're going to come out here and if we're going to pray for people, then God, you have to show up. God, I know that if I pray for this woman right now, that she's going to get up and that pain's going to be gone. They came in with this spirit of expectancy. Can I tell you, even at 8:00 in the morning, okay, y'all are still sleeping, okay? And they come in and we're all tired, we're exhausted, we get together and we start to pray. They came in with this spirit of expectancy that even among the 16 people right here, just chilling, that God can move. And you know what? That goes for you and me. When we come to church, we cannot be coming to church saying, you know, my mom made me come here tonight. We cannot be coming to church saying, I don't really feel like giving God worship. I don't really feel like jumping tonight. You know, something bad happened earlier today. I got in a fight with my mom. Whatever it is, we can't be coming into church like that. We have to have this spirit of expectancy that God, when I come to the church, God, when I come into this house, that no matter what my day looked like, God, no matter what my week looked like, God, no matter what's going on in my life, that I would expect that you are going to make me joyful, that I would expect, God, that you're going to speak to me. Because here's the reality. If you ever leave church saying nothing happened, what was that for? Why did I waste an hour and a half sitting here? Can I tell you that's not God's fault? That's our fault. Because God's always here. The Spirit of God is always here speaking. But sometimes we're not paying attention. Sometimes we're on our cell phone. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we say, I'm not going to pay attention today. God didn't do nothing for me this week. But the reality is that we have to have the spirit of expectancy. You know, there's a story in the Bible and it talks about Peter. He was in this boat and Jesus, he had just been raised from the dead. Remember, he died on the cross and he was in the grave and no one had seen him yet. And he was on this island and Peter was on this boat and Jesus called out to him. And he said, come on, come out, come to this island. And Peter was among all the disciples. So the disciples, what they do, they got out their oars and they're like, they're going, right? And Peter's thinking, oh my gosh, I got to get to Jesus. I can't wait. Oh my, this is taking too long. Oh, Jesus, help. And you know what he does? Peter jumps out of the boat and he starts to swim to Jesus. You see, there is a spirit of expectancy that I know that when I get to that island, I know that when I'm near Jesus, it's going to be so worth it. I cannot wait. I'm going to be all in. And see, we have to be like that. We got to be all in with Jesus. And you're saying, Beth, you got all that out of this team? Yes, I did. Because there is just this thing that said, whatever God said he's going to do, I know he's faithful. We serve a faithful God, don't we? Don't we? Come on. We serve a faithful God. So that's missions. And if you guys want to be part of it, we'll be doing some more summer missions next summer. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's give it up for the Mexico team. You guys are dismissed. Hey, if you guys have questions, you want to ask about some other things, I mean, it's bizarre because the stories that I've heard are not even some of the ones that they've shared, and there's so many more. I mean, people getting healed. We did a huge outreach. Some 500 people showed up. You heard they gave away bikes. I mean, things all over the place. It was just four packed days of great things. I mean, you can ask about the orphanages. They're all here, and they're here to hear your guys' questions, and if you want to hear what it's like, we do have missions planned ahead. I mean, I know even coming up, we have one to South Africa, different things like that. So keep your ears posted because, you know, if there's one thing, that can really change your life. You know, look, we have camp coming up. It's amazing. We have conference coming up in January. Gonna be amazing. But next summer, you know, like Beth said now, save your money now for next summer when we begin to bring mission trips in a larger effect here at The Rock Youth. Because, you know, look, somebody has got to tell somebody about Jesus. Why not you? Why not you? So let's do this. Let's go ahead and begin to wrap this thing up because service will be out in a little bit. But, you know, tonight the whole goal was to share about God's goodness. Now, wouldn't it be a shame if we sent people out across the border, across the world, on the other side of the globe to tell somebody about Jesus? But today, we ended today without telling you about Jesus. You know, the truth of the matter is this, is no matter how much or how little money somebody has, no matter how much or how little an economy a country has, the one thing is certain, whether it's America, Russia, whether it's Zimbabwe, whether it's the Ivory Coast, Mexico, or Argentina, one thing's for sure, no matter what you have, everybody needs Jesus. Now, the problem is this. A lot of times we think, well, you know what, Pastor Richard? Look, it's cool. It's fine. I'm okay with God. Look, if there's a God, certainly he loves me. I saw the T-shirt, the bumper sticker. I heard the story, and me and God, we're A-okay. But are you really? I mean, wouldn't it be a shame if you thought you were good, but then one day you found out? There you are in the middle of forever, standing before God, looking at eternity, and you found out you weren't okay with God. Well, Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? I never really questioned this before. Well, what makes you think you're okay? I mean, if this was your last day on earth, what makes you think that you'd go to heaven? I mean, what makes you think that you're on good terms with God? Well, I don't know, Pastor Richard. I mean, I figure I'm a good person. I mean, this is what I hear all the time when I ask that question. I mean, good people, they say, well, I'm good. I don't hurt anybody. I don't do drugs. I don't steal things anymore. I mean, I'm a good person. Don't good people go to heaven? Well, yeah, that's great. But look, if you were to look at the Bible cover to cover, nowhere will you find anywhere that good people go to heaven. You know what you will find is that me and you will never be good enough. Me, I'm a pastor, and I am not good enough to earn my way to heaven. The only way to be good enough is by being, well, perfect. No mistakes, no mess-ups. Because there's no do-overs. Is that you? Well, I don't think so. Nobody in this room, from the front, starting with me, to the back, is perfect. So we'll never be good enough. That's not what God's looking for. But Pastor Richard, I came to church, didn't even fall asleep. I paid attention. Maybe thinking, I grew up in church. Doesn't that count for something? Yeah, hey, yeah, that's good. But coming to church is not what God's looking for. God's not looking for some type of, perfect record of attendance. You know, you get a gold star because you've never missed a day. Look, man, perfect attendance at church is not going to get you to heaven. I mean, you don't become a Christian just by coming into this building. That's not what it takes. God's not looking for your butt print in a chair and you to sing him a song. God wants something different, something more than that. But Pastor Richard, wait, I believe in Jesus. Doesn't that count? Hey, that's cool. I'm glad you believe in Jesus. But here's the problem with that is if you look at the Bible, you look at what God says. Well, the devil believes in Jesus. Look, the demons saw Jesus. And in the Bible, it says they shouted, there's the Son of God. They know exactly who God is. There's no atheist demons. But they're not getting to heaven just because they know something about somebody. Look, you can know all you can know there is to know about the president of the United States of America. First name, middle name, last name, what his dog's name is, what his schedule is tomorrow, where he's going to be. But that doesn't mean you know him. See, knowing about God is not enough. There's no pop quiz to get into heaven. Now, God wants more than that. I mean, it's God's heaven. You got to get there God's way. If you want to come to my house, you knock on the front door, I'll let you in. But if you try to get in my house through the back door, climb through the window, I'm going to get a baseball bat, I'm going to call the cops, and it's going down. Look, you cannot get into heaven your way. You can't get in through the side, through the back. You can't climb in through the window. No, no. You've got to go through the front door. You got to do it God's way if you want to get to heaven. If you want to be right with God, you got to do it on his terms. Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? Well, okay, here's what Jesus said. If you want to be okay, you want to be right, well, you got to be born again. And born again is a fancy way of saying that you were living life one way, and then all of a sudden you turn your life around. You make a decision to live your life God's way. You're born, but then you turn your life around. You begin to live a different way. Born again. And then Jesus turns around and says, look, the most important thing that God wants is this. Love the Lord your God. Pastor Rich, I got it. No. Not love like you think you love. No, God says, Jesus says, if you want to know what's important, then you got to love God this way. With all your heart, mind, body, soul. That's everything. That's 100% of your heart, 100% of your life. Have you made a decision to give your everything to God? Not Sunday, not Wednesday, not a lot, not most, not 99%. No. God wants all of you. I mean, think about it. 2,000 years ago, what did Jesus do? God himself stepped on earth, walked life, crucified, died, buried, rose again. What did God do? How much did God give? Well, everything. Poured out his whole life, poured out all of his blood, poured out every ounce of strength he had. And God did everything he could for us. So now he's asking you to do the same. I mean, look, there's no mass crucifixion going on after service. Don't worry about that. But what he is asking for is, he says, if I could die for you, then you can live for me. Have you given 100% of your heart, 100% of your, not perfect, but committed? Every day you live for him. Everything you do, every football you throw, every phone call you make, you do it for him. God gave us his everything. Today he wants your everything. Not perfect, but committed. So is that you? Have you made a decision to give your heart to him? And when you've done it, has it been all your heart, all your life? That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means. Look, you can't earn it, but you can make a choice today to choose it. God has this gift for you called heaven, and he's waiting for you to take it. I love the picture the Bible says. Jesus is knocking on the door of our heart, waiting for somebody to answer. So today, you know what God wants. You. Are you going to answer? Are you going to answer? Because, see, God's already chosen you. He's now waiting for you to choose him. So if you're in this place, front to back, side to side, if you can hear my voice, I am talking to you. And if you've never decided to give your heart to the Lord, if you're doing life your way instead of God's way, if you're not too sure if you'd go to heaven if this was your last day on earth, that's you. I'm talking to you, and I want you to make a decision right now. One decision to let God into your life. On a count of three, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, bam. And if that's you in this place, if you need to get right with God, if you want to make sure you'd go to heaven, if you've never done this before, and you know you need to do it, I'm going to count to three. I want you to put your hand up in just a second. And you're saying, that's me, Pastor Richard. You put your hand up saying, I want to go to heaven. I want God to change my life. I want to give him all my heart. You're saying, Pastor Richard, today I need God to change my life. That's what you're saying. So if that's you, you've never done this before, I'm talking to you. If you're doing more of your thing than God's thing, I'm talking to you. If you're running from God instead of, I'm talking to you. That's you. If you're just not too sure, then I'm talking to you. Look, if you live one way when people are looking and another way when people aren't, if you're playing the game, the church game, look, I'm telling you, you're playing this alone and you're not going to make it. The Bible says hot, cold, don't be lukewarm. Don't find yourself in the middle trying to live for the world and live for God at the same time. It don't work. And God is no fool. He sees our lives and he knows who's real and who's fake. You're not going to fool him. You could fool me. You could fool Pastor Joe. You could fool the people around you, but you cannot fool Jesus. So if that's you in this place, you live in a lie. Let's make a decision to be open and honest. Today, on a count of three, get your hand up and say, Pastor Richard, that's me. I need to get right with God. I'm done messing around. If you're thinking, Pastor Richard, what if somebody sees me? So what? Let people see you do stupid things all the time. You take pictures of them and you send them to people. And you're afraid to get your hand up in church? Say, I want to go to heaven? Come on, you're smarter than that. So if you're in this place and you need to get right with God, if you've been running from him, never done this before, then right now, this is it, last chance. I want you to get your hand up on a count of three. We're going to pray, and you're going to make a decision to open that door up and let Jesus into your life. He's going to change your life, and it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. So if that's you, front to back, side to side, if you need to get right with God, get your hand up on a count of three. Don't wait for anybody else. Not between you and them. It's between you and God. Get your hand up. Ready? One. Don't wait. Look, God's not mad at you. He's just waiting for you. Two. Three. Who in this place?